Amen. Verse number one, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise the Lord. I was not looking for anything to preach tonight. Amen. I was not looking for anything to preach tonight. Holy Ghost had already dealt with me concerning this, and I figured that I would be preaching this either Sunday morning or sometime soon. And when Bishop said that he would not be able to be here, this just fell perfectly. And so I just simply want to preach to you tonight, filled. Filled. Praise God. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Do you? You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Again and again and again and again and again. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you. Thank you for your goodness and for your mercy today. I pray, God, that you would reach down amongst us, that you would touch us, and that you would help us, Lord, that the power of your Spirit would come down amongst us, and that there would be a witness of your Spirit today in this place tonight. We thank you for what we have already felt here. We thank you for what you are doing amongst us currently, not only in this service, Lord Jesus, but with us. I pray, God, that you would prepare us, to help us, and position us, and we'll worship you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Praise God. Now, this is the initial infilling of the Holy Ghost that was poured out on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Pentecost had come for many, many centuries, and it was never going to come like it was not coming like it had always come. This was different. This was different. It was going to fully come. And all that Pentecost meant was going to be fulfilled here in and on this celebration of Pentecost. And so we go back to it because this is what God desired. This is the way that God wanted it to be, the way that God intended it to be, and the way that he established Pentecost to begin with. And we want to be Pentecostal. Amen. We are apostolic in doctrine, and we are Pentecostal in experience. Amen. We are apostolic, built upon the apostles, the foundation of the apostles, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, but we are Pentecostal in experience. In other words, we have experienced a day of Pentecost in our lives. And so this infilling of the Holy Ghost, for the first time God's Spirit was ever poured out and established upon earth, it set the precedent for all that would follow suit thereafter. This is the way that God wanted it to be. And the Bible teaches us that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Amen. And so I just want to take just a minute here, and I want to break it down and just look at it a little bit more slowly. For the Bible says that everyone was filled. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. It is the will of God for everybody to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter number 2, at the end of that chapter is stated, amen, that the Lord continued and that he added unto the church daily such as should be saved. And not only that, but the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Amen. Hell was not designed for anybody. Amen. It was the will of God from the beginning. amen, that man would have a place established forever with the Lord God. Amen. And so we know that everybody received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then the Bible says that everyone was filled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Not partially. Amen. They didn't get just a little experience and then just get, every time they went to church, get just a little bit more and have to wait through 4 years of apprenticeship before they became a full-blown Pentecostal. Amen. When they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they were filled with the Spirit. Amen. Praise God. And I just have a feeling. It's not just a feeling. It is a knowing, and I know that you understand it just as well. But being filled with the Holy Ghost is what it's going to take to face this world and our problems in this day and time. Amen. You're not going to be able to do it on your own accord and come out victorious. You're not going to be able to face the temptations and the trials that are out there. Amen. You're facing a full-time devil that's been in this thing, amen, for some 3,000-4,000 years doing this. Amen. That his experience goes all the way back even into heaven. Amen. Where he was able to deceive even the angels. Praise God. Able to deceive, amen, Adam and Eve and all of those that was after that. Praise God. But God has given us what we need to be able to stand in this day and time. Jude said, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." Praise God. It is not the will of God, amen, that you just blunder around, amen, that you're weak and that you're anemic and that you're just struggling to get from service to service. It's not the will of God for you to come in to the service feeling like that you've lost so many battles before you ever got here. I want you to know that God wants to go home with you. Amen. God wants to go to work with you. God wants to, amen, to be with you all the time. Amen. God is ready to act when you call upon him in the time of need. Praise God. He is able to keep you from falling. God didn't give you the Holy Ghost just so that you could feel chill bumps running up and down chill bumps. God didn't give you the Holy Ghost, amen, just so that you could say that you've spoken in tongues somewhere down the road. God didn't give you the Holy Ghost so that you could be a hypocrite or that you could be a backslider. God gave you the Holy Ghost to make you an overcomer. God gave you the Holy Ghost so that you could be victorious over everything that comes your way. God gave you the Holy Ghost so that you don't have to fall, amen, to the traps and the snares of the devil. And if you've got the Holy Ghost, that's a reason to rejoice. That's a reason to magnify God. That's a reason to lift him up and to praise him. Why? Amen. Because you have power over the devil. Amen. That, but also, amen, in that you've got the Holy Ghost, your name is written in heaven. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. Amen. God is a spirit, and every one of them were filled with the Spirit of God. Praise God. You don't have some type of demigod, some second ranked God, nothing like you. You have got God Almighty dwelling inside of you. And the Bible said that they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Amen. In other words, it's going to be a spiritual experience. Praise the Lord. A spiritual experience. Amen. I'm just simply saying nobody taught you how to do this. You didn't take, amen, speaking in tongues 101 to do this. Amen. You just gave your heart to God. You gave your life to God. God filled you with the Holy Ghost. And you begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave you the utterance. Praise the Lord. He gave you the Holy Ghost on purpose. And he gave you the Holy Ghost to make a difference. He gave you the Holy Ghost. Amen. He chose to come live inside of you so that you could be a difference and that you could make a difference. Praise God. I'm thankful that I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God. But we do not believe in the once saved, always saved doctrine. We do not believe, amen, that once you get filled full of the Holy Ghost, that initial infilling of the Holy Ghost, the day that you receive the Holy Ghost, we do not believe that that alone is going to save you. You've got to continue to be renewed in the Holy Ghost, even on a day-by-day process. Say, well, I didn't get renewed in the Holy Ghost on Monday. Well, all right, just come to prayer meeting on Tuesday and get refilled with the Holy Ghost. So, well, I didn't get refilled with the Holy Ghost on Tuesday. Well, I'm glad that you're here tonight because tonight's your night. You can have the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. I can have the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. You say, well, I hope you have the Holy Ghost. I do have the Holy Ghost, but I want it again. You know, it's like that drug addict that he's hooked on drugs. And then all of a sudden somebody comes and offers him, you know, some, I don't even know the slang use of all that other stuff, but just offers him a hit or offers him whatever it is. And so he's just like, oh, yeah, he's an addict. He doesn't say, oh, no, thank you. I've had my fair share this year. He doesn't say, oh, that's really, really good stuff. I can look at it and see how pure it is. And I understand then that's got to be some good stuff. Oh, yeah, this is the best stuff. I know because I had it one time. Well, here, you can have it again. Oh, no. And I had it once, and that's good enough. That's not what happens. They're addicted. I mean, and they do everything that they can to get another hit. To get another high. They sell everything that they can sell. They'll take the cabinets off the wall and burn them in barrels for heat. Just so that they can get another hit. They'll do whatever they got to do. They'll put pit bulls out in their yard to keep the police away or to warn them when they're coming. Amen. Because they don't want to be caught. And he's like, well, why don't you just stop? I can't. Stuff's too good. I can't. I don't want to just stop. So I'm going to do everything that I... And then we have these... social Pentecostals that just want to casually partake, casually experience. The Holy Ghost isn't meant that way. Amen. It's not meant to be that way. God gave you the Holy Ghost for a purpose. And we have people that they're more interested in being depressed. They're more interested in being discouraged. They're more interested in having a pity party. They're more interested in being upset. They're more interested in being mad at somebody. Because you can't be filled full. I didn't know I was going to say all this, but you can't be filled full of the Holy Ghost and be mad at everybody. What does that drug addict do? Hey, man, here, take a hit on this joint. No, I'm mad at so-and-so. All of a sudden, they forget that madness. Oh, yeah, I really need this. You really need the Holy Ghost. I really need the Holy Ghost. And that's what it's for. But yeah, we got people, amen, that sit under a cloud of depression. When the Holy Ghost is right there. And God wants you to be full of it. And the Bible said that with joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. That's the way that God intended it to be. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be joyful. God wants you to be powerful. He wants you to have power over sin. Praise God. And so he gave us the Holy Ghost. Now let me get back to my notes here tonight. I don't have many. So Scripture makes it perfectly clear that there is absolutely no place in our relationship with God for just mere maintenance. There's no place in Scripture that tells us that. As a matter of fact, it's the exact opposite. We don't come to church and just maintain. If you've got that mentality that I'm just going to church to maintain, you're losing. You're losing ground. And the devil's getting a foothold in your life. You got to put your foot down and you got to step out. There's got to be growth. There's got to be growth. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. If so, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That is the will of God for every Holy Ghost filled child of God, not just to be babes in the Lord, amen, but to be as newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow. God wants us to grow. Amen. He wants us not just to grow old. He wants us to grow in stature. He wants us to grow in strength. He wants us to grow in victories. 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You need to grow in Him. Ephesians 4 and 11. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Amen. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, amen, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Amen. It is the will of God that we grow in Him. I know some people that are very, very disappointed in their relationship with God. They feel like that they are just a whipping block for the devil. They feel like they have no power over sin, no power over temptation. Amen. No power to make it. Amen. Just casually hanging on, feeling like a pinball, being slapped from side to side, back and forth, and never knowing when you're going to fall between the cracks, amen, and go down for the last time. I just want you to know that's not the will of God. Amen. God's got a plan in His word to be able to keep you. God's got a plan in His word to be able to help you. And all that you've got to do is just stand up and say, God, I want this plan. God, I want to be renewed. God, I want the Spirit of God living inside of me. God, I want the
renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can have it just like you had it on the first day. You can have it just like you had it the first year. As a matter of fact, God told the church in Ephesus, I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love. God wants us to go back to the way that it was. God wants us to realize that He desires relationship with us. Amen, amen. You are the child of God. God doesn't take it lightly when the enemy's coming and he's beating on you. Amen. He wants to encourage you. He wants to say, hey, stand up. Amen. Hey, just call out unto me. I'm as close as the mention of my name. But you got to be full of the Holy Ghost. That's the secret. That's the trick. Stay full of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, 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 amen. I would be a little bit hesitant here tonight to ask for a show of hands and say, is there anybody here, amen, tonight that you have not spoken in tongues this month? Today is August the 17th of 2022. Amen, I would be hesitant to ask, amen, is there anybody here that has not spoken in tongues this month? Amen, I would be hesitant to ask, is there anybody here that hasn't spoken in tongues this week? We've had church Sunday morning and Sunday night, had prayer meeting on Tuesday night, had pre-service prayer and church all the way up to this point. Amen. I want you to know that there are opportunities, and it's not the will of God for you to go home without being filled full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's a lie of hell. Amen. That the devil wants to tell you you're okay. Lie of hell. Amen. That wants to tell you, you don't have to speak in tongues. You don't have to do all of that all of the time. You know why hell tells you that? Because that's the way he weakens you. That's the way he gets you to be pulled down. That's the way he gets an advantage over you. But you ought to purpose in your mind. You ought to purpose within you. I've got to get the Holy Ghost again today.
Praise God. I know that there's a movement out there that I'd rather speak five words with my understanding than to speak 10,000 in an unknown tongue. And that's just what they said. Well, I'd rather speak five words with understanding than 10,000, because that's what the Bible said in the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 14 and 19. And so that's, Paul said, I'd rather speak five words and so rather than 10,000. So I just plan on praying and speaking in English, speaking that. What hypocrisy. They totally take and twist and manipulate the Word of God. They got a holy Bible because they cut out the first part of that verse. Amen. Verse number 18, Paul says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than all of you. No, Paul said, I'd rather speak with five words than in an unknown tongue. Amen. Paul let us know that he's going to do both. Amen. He's going to pray with understanding and he's going to pray according to the Spirit. Hallelujah. But when it's all said and done and he gets up from a prayer life, he's going to know that he touched God and he's going to know that God touched him. You don't have to go home wondering whether or not God heard you. You don't have to go home wondering whether or not, amen, God helped you and God touched you. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, it'd be just like your day of Pentecost. You knew you got the Holy Ghost because the Spirit began to give the utterance as you began to speak in other tongues. Amen. That's the will of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Elder Von Morton went across the country and I heard him preach it a couple of different times. I heard him preach it at a youth camp. As a matter of fact, he made it the whole theme of his part of the youth camp. And he began to preach it tongue-talking time. Amen. He preached it in Fresno many, many times. He said, it's tongue-talking time in Fresno. At Ventura Youth Camp, he said, it's tongue-talking time in Ventura. When he came to Colorado Springs, he said, it's tongue-talking time in Colorado.
Colorado Springs. Amen. I'm saying it's tongue talking time in Augusta, Kansas. Don't let the devil make you think that you don't have the Holy Ghost. Don't let the devil make you think, amen, that you're not good enough, that you're backslid, that you're backslid. You can have the Holy Ghost all over again. You say, Pastor, this is so trivial. Pastor, this is so, amen, so small. Amen. That's how simple God wants it to be. God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. And God could have defined rest any way that he wanted to and chose to do so. But in Isaiah 28 and 11, amen, he chose to define rest with a stammering lip and another tongue. For with stammering lips, he said in verse 11 of 28 Isaiah, with stammering lips and another tongue, will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Amen. How often do you need to rest? Amen. Somewhere between 6 and 8 hours every night. Amen. And some of us want just even a tad bit more or a whole lot more. Amen. And that's the way that it is with God. Amen. God wants you to have just a little bit more and a whole lot more. And this is the way that he had chosen to do it. Why? Because in the book of Daniel, he said that the enemy of our soul, amen, is doing his very best to wear out the saints of the Most High. Amen. That's why on Thursday night you're going to feel okay. And on Monday night you'll feel pretty good. And on Friday night and Saturday you'll feel all right. But come Wednesday night you're tired. Amen. Come Sunday you can get up at 6 a.m. Amen. And go to work. But Sunday you can't get up at 8:30 to get to church. And you sit there in church and you're tired. Wednesday night, you're tired. You're wore out. That's how you know it's a spirit. I said, that's how you know it's a spirit. If you're always tired on Wednesday night, it's a spirit. If you're always sick on Wednesday night, it's a spirit. Amen. If you always got issues on Sunday, it's a spirit that ought to alert you and say, hey, it's time to go to the house of God, because when I get there, I know everything is going to be all right. I'm going to meet with God, and God's going to meet with me. I'm going to talk to him, and he's going to talk to me. I'm going in tired, but I'm coming out refreshed in the spirit. And it's amazing when you get to church. I had it so many times. You can be seated. So many times I get here early in the morning to pray, or whenever it is to pray, and you know what? I've just been going, doing whatever, and all of a sudden I start praying. You know exactly what I'm talking about, because it happens to you too. You start praying. You get tired. It's the spirit. The devil don't want you to pray. Devil doesn't want you to touch the throne of glory, because he knows that if he can get you to walk out of here, you walked out Sunday night half full. Amen. He's worked on you Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And if he can get you to walk out tonight without getting filled with the Holy Ghost, you're on a quarter of a tank. He got a good chance to do some damage between now and Sunday. Amen, amen, amen. I know what it was. We live so poor. Amen. Our mice had to go out and eat. There's nothing in the house. I remember, you know, just thinking about this, every time I go to the gas pumps, even at $4.50, I bite my tongue and I take a deep breath and it hurts, but I just fill it up. I just fill it up. It's going to cost the same thing. If I put $5 in today and $5 in tomorrow and $5 on the next day and $5, or at the end of the, you know, first week, I just put in $25. You said $25 doesn't get you a full tank. No, it doesn't. But I just go and I just fill it up. And we just watch and we just careful and we just do what it is. And, you know, all those speed demons and stuff starting to watch their speed now. get better gas mileage. I wonder what it would be like if we would start watching out for the Holy Ghost like that. But you see, when I was growing up, we didn't have that luxury. We didn't do that. And so here we were, you know, we'd go to the gas station. And I remember when I was a young boy, and there at the Exxon station, they would come out and they'd start washing your window. Say, how much gas would you like to put in today? $3. $3. Yeah, $3. Okay. You know, and gas was whatever, 79 cents a gallon or 89 cents a gallon or super expensive, 99 cents a gallon. And I remember when it hit $1.09 and we was getting ready to graduate. Well, we'd not graduate. We were getting ready to get our license. It was like, oh, yeah, here we are getting our license. Now, all of a sudden, gas is up at $1.19. Anyways, so $3. So the attendant's like, okay, he'll put in $3. We give him $3 and go. And a couple days later, we'd be back. How much gas you like to put in today? Oh, give me $3. And $3 here and $3 there. And that's because we didn't have $20 to fill it all up. But you ought to not be poor in the spirit. You've got a God that all you have to do is ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. That's all you've got to do. If you're a child of God, all you got to do is come boldly before the throne of God and say, God, I need to be refilled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, you got to open yourself up. You got to allow God to do it. Don't expect God to take you by the tire, by the nap of your blouse, and throw you in the floor and fill you full of the Holy Ghost. You're just going to have to submit yourself just as you did when the day of Pentecost came to your life. And if you submit yourself just like that, God will take control and God will do it all over again. Amen. Because that's what God wants to do. God wants you to leave this place full of the Holy Ghost. And He wants you to come in on Sunday morning full of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, I come to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. But you can have a prayer meeting on Saturday. Amen. You can begin to talk with God and you can get renewed in the Holy Ghost. Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 5. Amen. It's by the washing of generations, washing of water. But then he said that we are saved by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. If we're saved by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, we had to get the Holy Ghost at some point in time. And so God wants to save us by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. Though the outward man perisheth, the inward man is renewed day by day, day by day. I heard a man preaching many, many years ago. He's already went on to his reward, but he got talking about the rapture test. Rapture test. And he said, you know, he said, you're going through the day and stuff. He said, you ought to be able to throw your hands in the air and just start saying, I love you, Jesus, and almost immediately feel the presence and the Spirit of God about you. He said, if you can't feel God like that, he said, you need to get closer to God. Find out where He is. And so, you know, all throughout the day, I'm just driving down the road just saying, oh, I love you, Jesus. And you can feel His presence. That's the way that God wants you to live. He's not a slave driver. He's not one that's driving you and saying, worship me, worship me. I know there's a lot of preachers that preach like that. But that's not the way that God is. God's not that way. God's not sitting there with the whip beating you, saying, you big No, the Bible teaches us that God is a shepherd, not a slave driver. That's what a slave driver does. A slave driver stands behind you with a whip, and he beats you, and he makes you do things, and he tells you, you need to do this, and you need to do that, and go, and you got chains on you and stuff, and he drags you by your chains, and you fall down, and he continues to drag you by your chains. But that's not the way that God operates. God's a shepherd. And He leads me beside the still waters. And He looks at me, He said, you know what? You need a good drink of water. That's what you need. Follow me. When he called his disciples, what did he do? Hey, Peter and Andrew, drop those nets and come with me immediately right now. I am commanding you to do it. That's not what he said. He told Peter and Andrew, he said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And then he turned around and walked. And he told others, come follow me. He turned around and walked. And it was up to them to follow. Because he's a shepherd. And that's the way that you get sheep to move. They follow. You lead, they follow. Whatever you do, they follow. We get out there with our sheep, we just honk the horn, or we get out there and whistle and call and stuff like that. Ooh, here they come. They come. We never had to go out there and drive them into the pen and to feed them. No, we just went out there and announced our presence. Here they come. And we got ready to move them from field to field. You know what we did? We just kind of stood back in one spot, and we let somebody be the leader. And typically, that was my dad. My dad knew. And so we'd stand back there, and we'd make sure that the highway was clear, and we was moving them from field to field across the highway. And so we'd step out there, and we'd just stop traffic or whatever. And then, you know, everybody, all those sheep, they'd start coming around. And when they start coming around, my dad would start moving. And then he'd start walking. And he'd start walking, they'd start following. Right across the highway, right on in and over into. Now, you got wanderers, but that's why we had side people over on the other side. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible said that angels encamp round about them that fear the Lord. And there's angels that are standing by the wayside. And they're just standing there. They're not pressuring. They're just standing there. And a sheep goes to pressure. Hey. They just go right back in. And the Bible said, he that breaketh the hedge, the serpent will bite him. God's got a hedge that's set up there. If you want to go, you can. You can do it. But there's going to be something that's going to happen because of that. But God has your best interest in mind. God knows where you are. God knows where you work. God knows your weaknesses. God knows your strengths. God knows everything about you. And he has given you the Holy Ghost to be able to overcome all of these things. He has made us to be overcomers. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. I'm almost done. As a matter of fact, you can stand here tonight. Look at that. It's only 8:25. Don't clap your hands. I want God to move into this place. I want the presence of God to come in amongst us. But there are people here tonight that you need to get the Holy Ghost all over again. Every one of us need to get the Holy Ghost all over again. And I know some of you think that this is so simple. Sorry, this is what God gave me. Because this is how simple that it is. Living for God should not be hard. It's not hard. You say, preacher, I'm just struggling. I'm just struggling. I may have given this example before, but you need to see it again. Come on, Garrett. He's my always. All right, you hold on to that. We're not going to rip this in two, but you got to pull. Yeah, okay, that's good. Say, Pastor, I'm just struggling. You can go ahead and pull. I'm just struggling, Pastor. I'm just struggling. You know how easy it is to quit struggling? Just let go. Let go of it. That's all that you have to do. Pastor, I'm just struggling. I can't. I just seem like I can't make it. I'm just not doing. You just got to let go. That's all you have to do. Just let go. Cares of life, loves of this world, temptations that are out there. That's all you have to do. That's as simple as it is. Because the devil can't make you sin. He wants to drag you into sin. And he's thrown something out there to lure you. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life. And he's dragging you. I just feel like I'm really struggling. I'm just struggling to make it. Just let go. Just let go.
Now, I got one more thing that I want to say, and I want the church to rally in this. But you know, and I know, we have felt a spirit of revival that has come upon this church. And in the last few weeks, there has been such a tremendous move of God as God come into the place confirming His word and doing things that it's beyond any talent or ability. It's God. And I want the favor of God upon this place more than anything. I want the favor of God. And we've had a couple of people receive the Holy Ghost here of late. We've baptized a couple. I think we've had four receive the Holy Ghost this year. Baptized two this year. God's good. God's good. God's faithful, and God's going to do a whole lot more. We're seeing visitors come here and there. And somebody said, yeah, but what if they stop? But what if they don't? We got to be ready. But I am going to tell you what the devil's going to do. The devil knows. Just as well as we're feeling it, he knows. And so he's going to come in and he's going to try to wreak havoc in the church. He's going to try to get people to become lukewarm, steel, cold. He's going to try to get there to be bickerings and fightings and bitterness and this and that and stuff. That's just his job. That's just his job. But I want this church to come together. And I want this church to say, this is what we've prayed for. This is what we have sought for. Amen. And let's all be filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's all be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Lay down some things tonight. And so I'm opening up these altars for everybody. And as you are on the way to the altar, I want you to lay down some things. I want you to lay down the emotions. I want you to lay down the bitterness. I want you to lay down, amen, the despair. I want you to lay down discouragement. I want you to lay down the love of the world. I want you to lay down the carnal things. I want you to lay all of these things down. And I want you to come to this altar here tonight. And I want you to, amen, to open up your heart. And I want you to begin to say, God, before I leave here tonight, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost again. I want a day of Pentecost experience all over again. I want to feel your presence and your power. I want to feel your spirit come into this place and sweep over our hearts tonight, God. Oh, I'm telling you, as the desire of a pastor, I want to see the presence of God blow into this place like a mighty rushing wind, just as it did on the day of Pentecost, and let it fill the house where they were sitting, and let there appear unto them cloven tongues like as a fire that set upon each of them, and let us all begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, as we are filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Tell the devil, amen, you're not getting my victory tonight. I'm going to get the Holy Ghost again tonight. I'm praying through tonight again. You may be struggling and saying, I don't know what to do, Pastor. Repent of your sins. Humble yourself before God. Submit yourself unto God. Ask God to renew you tonight. Come on. You have not because you ask not. Ask God to renew you in the Holy Ghost. Ask God to touch you all over again. Amen. Tell God, I need it again tonight, God. I need the touch again tonight, God. I need the feeling again tonight, God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's not let it die down. Amen. But let's wait with patience and let's seek the face of God.
Amen. And as God begins to move through this place, let's respond to Him and let Him do a work here tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I take dominion over every spirit of hell in Jesus' name. I come against every spirit of carnality. I come against every spirit of depression and discouragement. I come against every one of them in the name of Jesus. I come against condemnation and regret tonight in Jesus' name. You have no authority. You have no place in this house tonight. These are the children of God. And in Jesus' name, we bind you and cast you into outer darkness. Let liberty come into this place tonight, God. Let your spirit fill this house. Let the Holy Ghost come into this place like a rushing mighty wind. And let it fill every one of us, God. We want to be your people. We want to be your church. We want to be renewed tonight. In Jesus' name.